From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. It's a brand new week, and this one's a little bit unique. We're going to talk about the supplemental draft. We're going to talk about what it means for the Kansas City Chiefs, as well as one position that might be affected by it. But, Chris, how's your weekend?
Pretty good. Got vacation coming up and been planning for that, so that's all I've really been doing. But how's yours?
Yeah, I had to destroy and rebuild a kid's trampoline set, so it was fun in 98 degrees weather. So
I don't want to hear about heat.
Oh, I guess you probably win, right?
Just saying.
Well, folks, I'm Ryan, the founder of Rogue Analytics, as well as the host at RGR Football on YouTube. Check that out if you haven't seen it lately. This week's video just went up yesterday, and it's on Kareem Hunt, so check that out. And Kareem's a guy that's got some competition. Not even competition, but at least he's got a core of guys, a big group of guys behind him, and that's kind of what we find with the Chiefs' cornerback situation as well. And figure we'll start off today because the supplemental draft is up, and despite everything that I know about any of these players and how the Chiefs go about business, a lot of people are pointing to supposed interest from Kansas City in a couple of the cornerbacks in particular. Just before we get into the details, do you think that rings true with what you know about how they want to do business?
It wouldn't shock me. What I will say, when you talk about the Chiefs running back situation, I wish the Chiefs cornerback situation was anywhere close to what the running back situation is like. Because to me, I think they have at least two running backs on this roster that could start for an NFL team right now.
Yeah.
Which is more than most teams can say for their running back stable.
That's true. And, you know, it's a good thing to have. It's going to lead to some cuts, but it is a good thing to have. And the question here for us, as we look at who's in this draft, that position in particular in the corners, you know, we have our top three in Kansas City that look like they're pretty solid, and we have a bunch of question marks after that. And so I can understand why people are floating the concept, but
no, wait a second. You're saying Amerson is solid now? Because that's a different story than what you've been saying.
No, I'm not saying he's solid on the field. I'm saying he's a solid choice. He's going to make this team. He's going to be one of the top three corners.
Oh, okay. Just want a clarification.
His roster spot is assured, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, just one clarification.
Yeah, no, I cringe when I think about him playing precedent 30 downs a game. Anyway, but that leads to, you know, especially if you were really thinking outside the box, you could think that somebody acquired late in something like the supplemental draft, or I hear people still talking about trades, which I don't think are going to be on the table for a premier position like that. It does get you thinking about, you know, could somebody not only challenge for the fourth cornerback spot, but could they break into the top three? And my guess would be that Amerson would be the guy that probably falls, but nonetheless, the prospect of the Chiefs being interested in somebody in this supplemental draft is interesting to me, but it rings hollow because you look at all the things that have gone into selecting players through the Dorsey regime with Andy Reid, but also specifically with Brett Veach, in doing homework and in getting all the film analyzed. You have most of the supplemental draft guys are people that you expected to be playing in college this coming season. And for whatever reason, something happened to change their eligibility. And because they missed the last draft, that's why you find them jumping in to try and be available in this supplemental draft. Usually it's some kind of negative that forces them. And I think that's also another reason why maybe it goes against what the Chiefs want to do in having just parted with Marcus Peters. The concept of bringing in another troubled corner or a guy that's got a history that you have to overcome doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
I get where you're coming from, but I would also argue that this is actually kind of more of a Chiefs move. With as aggressive as Brett Veach is, if he sees a corner that he thinks can step in and be really close to a starting level corner, it's a win situation for Kansas City because you're not waiting until next year to draft a guy.
And that may be fair. Yeah, if anybody was going to do it and spike the system, it's probably Veach, right? Let's take a quick second. We'll come back. I want to ask you about value. So in this situation, what kind of pick do you give up?
It's just going to be hard for me to see them giving up a second-round pick because I do think somebody will give up a second-round pick for Beal. I could be wrong, but I've heard multiple different people say that they're hearing that he could go in the second round, which to me is crazy, but.
Well, see, and it's crazy for me too, and that's what it all boils down to. You're talking about a guy that's seriously gotten to the point where he's not able to fulfill his engagement at college. And I don't want to get into specifics of who did what or who smoked what or what all the instances are around all these guys. Everybody's got something in their past. That's what you can boil it down to. Character questions. Almost everyone, every time there's a supplemental draft. So the idea of spending such a valuable pick on a question mark of that caliber, especially knowing that they're outside of the normal scouting season. Yes, they've all got rudimentary reports done, but it's not the normal process.
Let me play devil's advocate again for just a second. Wouldn't it make more sense to spend a second round pick now and have a young corner that is going to have a chance to not necessarily have to play this year, but learn in a system? I mean, if you're talking about Beal being a possible fringe guy as your number three corner, okay, well, maybe he sits for a year, and now your four corners are Amerson, Beal, Fuller, and Nelson, and then you have the rookie that they just drafted. And then there's your five.
Yeah, it still seems like a lot because that last year of film, that last year of maturity, that for me brings into a question. Like I wouldn't spend a second round pick on anybody in the supplemental draft ever, period. That's just like a hard stop for me. A third round, I could see possibly getting away with that. And I think, you tell me, do you think that the hype is probably growing about this possibility because the Chiefs do have two second round picks?
I mean, it's hard to say. I think that there's a lot of people that are saying that they're interested, and whether or not they are interested, it's a question of whether or not they think they can get him with whatever round pick that they decide they're going to say. I don't think you get him with the third round pick, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe nobody's going to go to a second. Matt Miller, our buddy Matt Miller, said that he thinks he's going in the second round.
I heard him say that. And Matt has a better pulse on what his value is than I do. So I decline to his opinion. But, man, that's a hard pill to swallow.
It seems high, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, if you think you really need a corner, and especially with Kansas City sitting there with a couple of second-round picks for next year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, something to think about.
Yeah, and that's kind of where it comes to for me too. And that's, I will say this, if there was going to be a supplemental draft that the Chiefs should be interested in, it's probably this one. Because both Beal and Adonis Alexander, who's another corner prospect out of Virginia Tech, along the lines of the same program that Kendall Fuller's played in and his brothers have played in, and Brandon Flowers before them, there's history there. And having both of them high profile in this supplemental draft, I can understand because the Chiefs like big corners. They need big corners. You're relying on an outside guy in Steven Nelson that's probably a little under height. Kendall Fuller isn't the biggest guy either. I think you're looking at positionally something that would probably draw some interest. But, again, I just can't pull the trigger.
Well, let's take a quick break, and we will come back, and we will discuss it a little bit further. I get not wanting to pull the trigger, but the question I have to you is, can he make this roster better in 2018? And is it worth – to me, if he can make the roster better in 2018, it's worth giving up a higher pick to have him and have him improve and play in your system for a year, because then you're grooming him to replace a guy like Amerson or maybe even Nelson if he goes elsewhere.
Yeah, yeah. And that's fair. And I think that's probably going to be the idea if one of them is selected. And we should probably back up for just a second because I know I got a couple of questions this over the weekend. Supplemental draft, folks, is basically a blind auction. Teams put in what draft pick they're willing to give up for it, and it's not done. There's no fanfare. There's no central room. I believe it's done over email, if I heard correctly. And teams send in their value, and highest bidder wins. And that's basically the way it works. So it is kind of a much more open field as to what people actually value these guys at. So
it's interesting to me because I don't know how that works out. If you have two people that are willing to give up a second round pick, is it based on prior year draft line or draft?
I would imagine so. Yeah, everybody's got a slated as though it would have been probably their same slot from this last draft would be my guess. But I don't know that for certain.
Well, somebody there's going to be probably at least two players taken in the supplemental draft, which is going to be more than have been taken in multiple supplemental drafts since for a long time at least.
Yeah. Yeah, and it all comes back to need, right? And with the Chiefs looking at the group that they have, it brings into question what they're going to do, because I would be hard-pressed right now to name you who the fourth corner is going to be.
I don't know that I would. I think it's going to be the rookie.
Tremont Smith is who he's talking about, folks. And I don't blame you. I'm just not sure, you know, until we see camp and see where it is. Again, another long, tall guy, and that's great. I don't know that I'd call Steven Nelson undersized, really.
Well, he's going to be on the roster. He's going to be a returner at the very least.
Right. Absolutely. So he's already there.
Right. I do think he's going to be the fourth corner, and maybe he is the fifth corner. Maybe it's another rookie that that's been stepping up from training camp. I don't know, or not training camp, but mini camp and OTAs. But you have a lot of young guys, so that's really where you stand.
Yeah, youth is the name of the game at this point, right? But also, in years past, with like Sean Smith and even with Terrence Mitchell, they're not quite as tall as they used to be either, right?
Nope, they're not. But you can only, I mean, you have to take what you can get. And at this point, you know, it's a question as to how Kansas City's corner group is going to break down. I'm very interested to see how camp turns out, because I think that could be a huge deal for the cornerback group, especially when you look at the skill of the wide receiver core.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that matchup day to day in camp is going to be something to see. And right now, as far as I know, the only corner on the roster that's taller than 6 foot even is Amerson at 6 foot one. I believe McQuay's over tall, and Dan Sorensen's 6 foot two, but we're talking specifically about corners today. I think it leaves the door open for another sizable corner to get in there. A couple of guys that I think could be fighting for a roster spot, and we should talk about them, in Will Redmond and Keith Reeser, who's been on the field in the last season. My guy, Ashton Lampkin, who hopefully has made some strides. Tremont Smith. And then the other rookie that is grabbing some headlines is Arian Springs, who's also 6 foot tall.
And I think what comes down to it is there are options that are going to be above and beyond some of those guys. Tremont Smith, they seem to clearly have an interest in, and I think they're going to give him a good hard look, like you said, because of having the special teams ability, and that's important. But if they can bolster and get better at four, maybe push for three, then hey, that's great. Back to the original conversation about this supplemental draft, I'm just not sure. You'd have to do your background. And so at the end of the day, while I would normally be reluctant, I have to say that Brett Veach does a good job, does his research. I think his staff is well-formed in order to do research on guys that maybe have had some run-ins back in the day or have had some issues in college and have decided to come out early. So at the end of the day, I think they're going to be in good shape if they choose to take a chance on it. You know, football-wise, I think that's a good decision. And overall, if you feel the risk is worth the benefit, then I have to give you the benefit of the doubt, because I don't have the ability to go interview and find out what happened in all these different situations at these different schools. So in the end, it boils down to trusting Brett Veach and Andy Reid. And yes, we've done that before with Marcus Peters, and you know, we saw that deteriorate through the years, but if they choose to do that again, then I'm going to give it a good hard look. We're going to talk to Seth tomorrow, and I'm sure he'll have something to say about it too, probably something about film. And as we sign off here today, just have an idea that there's going to be good competition in this position going into camp and throughout camp. So whoever ends up there, keep a sharp eye on it, because there's somebody that's going to play quite a bit of ball come 2018. So at that point, I think we'll just sign it off here. We have a great week coming for you. We have Matt Waldman with us this week for a special two-parter all on Patrick Mahomes and how he's prepared to play in 2018, as well as Seth. And we're going to have a crossover either at the end of the week or early next week with Cody Rourke of Locked On Broncos. And we're going to talk all about what's going on with Bradley Chubb and who the Chiefs are going to have to face when they play Denver. So keep it here. We appreciate your time. Thanks for listening today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.